guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode in the studio. Hey. We're back in the studio.
I know
you're hearing the quality if you're listening and you're looking at the screen like, oh, look at them. They're looking nice all over. How are you?
Fresh drip as well.
Oh, thank you.
Shout out, is it Courtiers?
Yes.
Streetwear, you know.
Yes, yes. The
and Recess.
With Recess.
Very, very Come nice on. Collab.
You know, although I'm not going Recess land. Because I want to stay home and sleep, man. It's not every day. I'm not going out this weekend.
Wow.
This bank holiday weekend.
Wow.
And Eugene's saying wow because I be outside.
Wow.
But we have grass season coming soon. And we're going to be booked and busy. So this is why I was like, you know what? This is the last bank holiday till literally August. So I need to rest.
And to be fair, what's starting on Sunday?
Hold on, girls.
Which is why we're here.
And why we're here. How are you anyways?
I'm good, Lucy, man. Like, yeah, it hasn't been that long, to be honest.
Yeah, it hasn't. Like so, we said, we are trying to pod
exactly.
more.
Be more consistent.
We're trying to be. And so, when I tweeted on our account, like, I love seeing the reply people were like,
yeah. They want it.
And I was like, damn, we need to do it again. Okay, cool.
It's
no
very
worries.
Mad. But nah, man, I'm good. And looking forward to the French Open. How are you?
I'm good. Much better than the last pod, definitely. Apologies about that. You know, sometime life and that, but yeah, I'm good. I'm in great mood. Even the studio guy was like, I need to say whatever you're full of energy. So that means we're gonna have a great pod today.
And shouts out as well before we get started, Lucy. Again, this rundown is incredible. So yeah, shouts out to yourself for
Thank
the
you.
Rundown.
Thank you.
But yeah, let's get into it, man.
Yeah. So before we get to Roland Garros, we have to do a quick catch up. The last Clay Masters.
Rome.
There was less rain this time, finally. Than the last two, 3 years.
True.
It was definitely less.
The schedule was actually allowed to kind of, move along quite
exactly.
smoothly.
Exactly, yeah. But, we had two winners, Zverev and Igor.
Second time for Zverev as well. He's won it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think 2017 or
2018.
Yeah.
Iga's also the first WTA player to win Madrid and Rome back-to-back since Serena Williams. I can't remember the year when Serena Williams did it, but no one has done that ever since. Mm. So shout out to Iga. She was playing really well, to be honest. She's doing her thing, man.
The form player.
Yeah, definitely. But aside from the winners, obviously we're here to talk about our peoples. I felt like it was only right to talk about Osaka. To be honest. Osaka's performance. So she beat her first top 10 player in round two, which was against Kasatkina.
Kasatkina, yeah.
Oh, I'm
Who's
getting
a
there.
Very good player too, Kasatkina.
She is, yeah. And even before that, she also beat Kostyuk.
Yeah.
I'm getting there, guys. Sorry. My bad, bro. I'm not good with names. In straight sets too. She was moving like really, really, really well. She was like more confident. I remember her first match actually. One thing that I did notice, she was moving a lot towards the net, which it's not really an Osaka thing as much.
So yeah, you don't necessarily associate her being like a volleyer.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, but that first, especially she was during that tournament, but especially that first round, it was very different. And I wish she did it more on the next two rounds.
To be fair, she didn't really have to against Kasatkina, because I think she was like, I was at work, so I was paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
She was dominating from the back,
yeah.
Which is what obviously that
true.
Is her game.
So she
didn't really need to come forward as much. Whereas for the Kostyuk match,
probably
she was kind of changing or adapting her
which
style.
Was good to
exactly.
see because like we say, we don't normally see that like from her as much. But then she did lose in the third round to Zhang.
Yeah, Kim Jen, yeah.
Which everyone was like a bit like, ooh, because as you know...
The coach situation,
you know, just to refresh everyone's mind. Osaka had her coach, went on maternity leave. Her coach, Wim Fissette, went to Zhang. And then when Osaka was back, You know, she's like, hey, when I'm back, you know, I got a lot of money too. So, you know, hey, just, you know, and he just got up and left, you know, and there was a little bit of him, but it's okay. You know, they've both been doing their thing.
Yeah. And to be fair to Zheng, I like how she kind of handled that, all of that as well. Because
both of them as well, to be fair.
But Zheng, especially because she kind of, obviously that was kind of the talk coming into the match.
And
she just played it down. I really respect that.
They both did during their press conferences as well. Obviously people were asking, but they were both like being like respectful and everything. I always said, I think she had, when I say she, I'm talking about Zheng, I feel like she had more issue with Wim than Osaka.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Which makes total sense. So I appreciate the fact that she didn't, I feel like someone else probably would have been a bit immature about it and maybe would have gone a different way. So I like the fact that they were both able, you know, to pat it down, you know, Asian community coming together. But but that match, it was playing like really well. Zheng was playing,
she was on it.
I was like, whoa, okay. That was definitely the best match that she played, because the next round when I watched her play, it wasn't as good, but that match against Osaka, she did it all.
She played Coco next round, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and it was not the same level at all. But she was making Osaka like not rely like on hitting big, because obviously Osaka like hitting big and stuff, but she was making it really difficult for her to do that. But aside from that, she was just doing really well. But one thing that did not really help Osaka was her serves. Her serves were pretty low. I feel like the tournaments, it was pretty low, but that match, that's what really costed her as well, which was interesting to see, because Osaka has like
big,
one of the,
she's a big server.
Yeah, she's a big server. So I don't know if it was the nerves or something. I don't know. But either way, Zheng had like control of that match. Like that was her match.
Yeah.
But it was nice seeing Osaka like playing. She was moving like really well for like clay, especially, you know, she's not a massive, I mean, how everyone talk about her on clay and stuff.
What, you see the nickname going around, Clayomi.
Clayomi, yeah. Which is, shout out to, she's about done. She's the one who actually started that.
Really?
As well. She tweeted that like years ago, and then it started, I think this year, it started blowing up even more.
That.
And then, yeah, she saw it. I love things like that, though. Yeah. I love the fact that the tennis players can also like see it, but it just shows you that they be watching.
Mm-hmm.
They be watching for real. But shout out to Osaka, that was really, really great.
While we're on Osaka, we should mention her interview with our guy Tamani
in
the Guardian.
Yes,
really, really nice interview.
It was the Monfils one that I read. Yeah, but I think I didn't read the Osaka one yet.
Yeah,
did you read it?
Yeah, so the Osaka one was in Paris. So that was that's recent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Monfils one, that was in Rome.
That was because that was right before.
Exactly, before Rome kicked off. It's a really, we'll put the link in like the show notes and stuff. But obviously Tamani's a great writer. Mm-hmm. And like you could always get a nice sense of like, you can tell she was very relaxed during while speaking to him.
Mm.
And me and him spoke a bit afterwards, and he was like, oh yeah, she kind of went in a bit more on like the whole Kendrick Drake thing, which I found quite funny.
Really?
You know, she kind of said,
she did,
Kendrick,
yeah.
But like, she's really for Kendrick.
I love that.
which I found quite funny. But just in the interview as well, I didn't know when she gave birth, I always get the names mixed up, Shy and Sky.
They have like really, really similar names.
I think Shy is Osaka's, Sky is Morphe's. So Shy was born with her umbilical cord around it, like wrapped around her neck. I didn't know that.
She did an interview, I can't remember which magazine it was, and yeah, she was really went in depth.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she had like a very, very tough like pregnancy childbirth and stuff.
Not to like bring it to me, but I was also born with the cord.
Really?
My neck. Yeah.
I never know this.
Yeah,
oh
yeah,
shit!
Yeah.
Look at him.
Black's been exclusive, but forget that. But no, it was just really like it was just interesting to hear that.
Mm.
And obviously, like we are aware of like the whole, all the difficulties black 100%. Women face, like in pregnancy,
yeah.
like so.
Yeah.
It was just sad to hear, but I'm just obviously grace to God, like everybody's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that was something I completely had no idea.
Yeah,
about.
No, she shared it once with things that she shared like the complications that she was having and everything, and even how she was feeling like during the pregnancy and stuff. Like, she's been very open about it, which I think is really great too.
And also too, like, not to spend too much time, because we have spent quite a lot of time talking about it, but she also said, and it's kind of been spoken about as well, like in terms of her comeback since becoming a mother, like she's much more just like, she's less harsh on herself. Like, again, she was speaking a bit about that as well, and just saying that, like, results, it's not kind of the be all and end all anymore, like in terms of like winning. Obviously, of course she wants to win and get back to the top. But like when she loses, she's not as like hard on herself. And you can kind of, you get that sense.
You can see it. And you can, I like it like that. I like seeing Osaka like relax.
Exactly.
Like, because right before she went on maternity leave, you could literally see that pressure she was putting on herself.
It was a lot. It was
affecting her. And it was like, I like the fun, bubbly, you know, I'm good, like, type of Osaka, rather than seeing her like so like down, especially that she has, like, I know she's very introverted and we don't know her, but when she shows that her fun, quirky side, it's very nice to see. And we didn't see that for a very long time before she went on maternity leave. But glad that she's back, glad she's moving well, looking forward to her for
and Shai will be in Paris as well.
Oh, is that what she said?
So that's the first trip abroad.
Oh, that's so cute. Really cute. No, shout out to her. And also, shout out to her latest collection.
Yeah, it's hard. Please. It does look hard.
I need that collection available international. Like, I need it available international. I actually checked. The only thing we can get is the trainers.
Oh,
and
really?
I want the t-shirt with the logo, the Nike tick, and it's like something on the back. It's so cute. It's black, it's simple, but it's really nice. And the skirt, the adjustable skirt. So yeah, get to, I don't know, do something. Make it possible.
I'm sure it will happen.
But but aside from Osaka, we also had, we had to talk about Felix.
Stay with the women. So
stay with women?
Yeah, like, because Goff as well, making it to the semis.
Good one.
Yeah,
Coco was a semi-finalist singles and a finalist doubles.
Exactly.
Hey. She lost to the champion in the semi, 6-4, 6-3. And to be fair, obviously they've played a lot of matches against each other. You guys saw our meme that we have, ego. And by the way, shout out to everyone who knew it was just a joke. Again, we don't, no disrespect to ego here.
Let me just say this as well. Lucy's the one in control of all the memes. Like, I have nothing to do with any of that stuff.
Well, actually, are you sure about that?
For the most part.
For the most part. Nah. For those who don't know, on our Twitter, there's one meme from like our old podcast video where I was like, tennis gods free us from Igor, but is honestly no disrespect, just a fun thing.
Exactly, man.
But even when I explained to some followers, they were like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. So yeah, shout out to everyone who got that. But yeah, that was actually one of their best matches, like, against each other, in terms of Coco's performance. Like, she played like really well. Agree. So yeah, even before that, she was playing like, I think she had a very entertaining match against Bedosa.
Yeah,
and Bedosa played, that was also one of Bedosa's like best matches since. There was even a little joke saying, oh, look, she got rid of her boyfriend and now she's playing her match.
I swear they're back together.
Yeah, they're back. Listen, hey.
Good luck to them, man.
Sometimes go back to, you look, she saw the streets. She was like, oh, hey, where's that guy again? Let me go back to my Greek guy. I hear you, Bedosa. But her second serve were like amazing during that match. But weirdly, like her first serves were kind of like low, but it still like helped her out. But aside from that, I do feel like Bedosa had like, that was like her best performance since her injury. And in terms of like Coco, like her service game was a bit longer during that match. So you can see that Bedosa was trying to like get some things like in there. And some of it was probably because of the first serves weren't as great as the second serves. But with Bedosa trying to like challenge her, her service game was like way longer.
Just putting pressure on it, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and Bedosa won that first set anyways. Yeah, but then the second set, Coco won that. And I feel like what really helped is because by then she started serving way better. Like her serve just literally improved. And it was like, yeah, that's it. Keep that up and we win the match, which is what she did. And she felt, you could tell like her serves were even like, annoying her because literally her courage and her mood completely changed as soon as that serves went up. So yeah, that was really good. And then after that, she also played against Zeng, which to me was probably her best, like,
yeah, it was clean.
Match.
It was clean.
Yeah, during that tournament.
7-5, 6-1
Oh, I don't remember the scores, but it was definitely
so
like,
tiebreak 7-6, 6-1
Yeah.
So
we'll see, 6-1 Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's clean. And that too was also the coaching setup thing, because don't forget now, James.
Yeah, there was another coaching thing. Yeah.
Is Per Riba.
Yeah.
And Per Riba was obviously.
Do you know what
Coco's.
Was funny about that? Obviously, a lot of people were always talking about, like, yeah, well, including me, I'm not going to lie, put my hands up. Yeah, bring back Per Riba, bring back Per Riba. So when she beat Zeng that yeah. match, I was laughing to her. Someone tweeted, those of you that said, bring back Per Riba, come get y'all juice. Like, you guys are out here talking, and look. But it was just a funny tweet. I was like, I'm dead. I was like, I'm guilty, but that's very, very
funny. Did you see
funny.
Before the match as well? Like, I thought this was also a bit of gamesmanship on Reba's side. Mm-hmm. So before the players come out in Rome, they kind of like wait in like a corridor area.
Yeah.
So Zhang was obviously there. Mm-hmm. Coco was too. Riba was also alongside Zhang, so he was mm-hmm. literally stood next to Zhang.
Mm.
And I was like, bro, why are you there? Like, go and sit in the box.
Wait, but I saw the before... coaches don't normally
and this
go...
is what I'm saying to you, like, I you don't usually see a coach
yeah.
or the team like hovering in the corridor.
That's interesting.
So I was like, bro, like, what are you doing? Just go and sit down in the players box and wait for the girls to come out. Do you get me? Like, why are you trying to like hover? And I just thought to myself, is he trying to put like psych Coco out.
Is that what you're
completely? Completely.
But
Coco was there and her headphones
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
She was just
yeah.
vibing.
I think obviously I didn't see it because I tend to watch the matches like later yeah. on after that. I didn't see it, but from what you're saying, it could maybe be a thing where he's trying to make sure like, yeah, we're cool with it. Like,
it was poor. It was poor. I'm sorry.
You were not having
I was
it.
Not having it.
Like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But like you said, that was one of Coco's probably better matches on
yeah,
play.
Yeah, no, 100%,
like,
yeah.
This
her first serve,
so
like, they went up. She had, like, fewer double faults. She was, like, hitting some very good, like, forehand wins as well. And she looked, like, really comfortable in the baseline, which is what you said. I remember we were texting each other when you said that as well. But Zhang was, she was still, don't get me wrong, that first set, she was hitting something. There was some winner she was hitting. I was like,
she's a top player, man.
I was like, what? Who's this girl? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, she was on job. But even that first set, the reason why I even went to a tiebreak is because Coco was actually up like 5-4. But it wasn't a thing where Zhang was even doing anything like really crazy. It was kind of like Coco's having an issue with like her double faults at that moment. But either way, That tie break was so good.
Yeah, yeah.
That tie break was good fucking tennis. Like, that tie break was entertaining. Like, I really liked it. I low-key wish that match was 3 sets thing.
I don't. But yeah, just on Coco with the serves, like, she gets a lot of crap. I say crap. People will say, oh, the double faults. Like, what blows my mind is the fact that she can, like, just kind of switch off and, like, not, just move on to the next point. And like, for me, that she needs more credit for that, because of course that's gonna like play on your mind a lot, especially during a match. But she's able to like just basically switch off and just move on to the next point. And I think that of course she's gonna work, she's gonna continue to work on the serve and it would improve. But I just feel like the fact that that's a weakness, clearly is a weakness, the girl's world number 3. Like, what the hell? Like, can we just like give that some, put some respect on that, please? I beg.
You're right, I'm not gonna lie. I feel like people were only saying that though because, just like I was saying earlier with Osaka, that serves has never really been an issue, but this year was weirdly kind of like a thing, especially during like clay season. But either way, she still made it to the fucking semifinal.
Please. And
also, she it's not like she lost to one city girl.
Some small
she
girl.
Literally lost to like the number one player who, when it's clay season, is basically her season, low key. So at the same time, it's like, you know, because even there was even one match, I can't remember which one, there's one match she even got bageled. And I think it was against Jacqueline Christian. She got bageled, but like, Coco still won that match. That match, for example, again, she, the same thing happened a couple months ago. She won.
Clara Burrell.
The match. People were cooking her. I was like, sorry, these players should have not. They should have beaten Coco. Let's focus on the fact that how can you bagel someone you soon lose a match? Let's be for real.
It's Coco Gauff, bro.
But exactly, it's Coco Gauff.
And on the Iga match, and I don't want to spend too much time because we have spent a lot of time talking about Coco. That scoreline doesn't reflect the match in terms of like the quality of the match and how well Coco played. And I did tweet that. But yeah, for me, that was probably one of the better matches that she's played on clay against Iga. Obviously, 100%. She's beaten her in, was it Cincinnati last year?
Yeah.
And like they've had close matches on like hard courts.
Yeah.
But on clay, I would have loved for, it would have been nice if she won a set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get me? To kind of show, wow, like that's a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, that was a good performance from 100%, Coco.
100%.
Yeah. And she made it to the doubles final, which we'll talk about later on.
Exactly.
So we're good.
Shout out to Coco, man.
We're good.
Oh, she's doing a nice, cute pop-up in Paris.
I love her kit as well for the French.
Paris don't deserve that. Let me just say that, okay?
Oh, Lucy, Coco. Listen, relax.
This time, I'm dead twice next month. That's the funniest thing. But Coco, I hope you do that in London as well. That'd be cute. Let's stay on the women's again. Jasmine.
Hey, our Italian Ghanaian sister. And Polish, we should also acknowledge, but you know, it's black's been global.
You know what? No. I don't like that. Tennis Twitter kind of, you guys didn't like the fact that we claimed her. So now you want to go and dig deep, and trying to find that she's Polish and trying to bring up. Because before, no one brought up the fact that she was Polish. And we told you guys, no. It's black spin, innit? So you guys want to go and do some dig. You want to dig very deep to be like, let's see if she can be one of ours. No. Don't try it. So no Polish. Shout out to Mumsy. Respect to Polish.
She was there as well. Did you see? She was actually there.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I saw the brother.
In Rome, yeah. She was there.
Shout out to Mumsy and that, but yeah, let's stick to what we know. You guys tried it.
But Jazzy, she actually lost in the second round. So she got obviously a first round bye being one of the seeds.
Oh, yeah.
So she lost to Maya Sharif.
Maya Sharif. I think it was the same issue as what I was mentioning in Madrid. I really think it was the nerves.
Yeah, no, it
level. Makes sense.
Obviously, it's a home tournament for her, the pressure, completely.
Like they were saying her name like crazy everything. Yeah. And yeah, it was literally, that's what it was. Because Sharif was playing, but it wasn't like, because I think I missed a little bit of the beginning, but from what I was seeing,
it was a fight. It was a proper scrap.
It was. Scrap. Especially that last set. Mm. It was crazy.
Mm.
It was good tennis. But you can see, like, anytime, like, Paolini was literally, like, let's say, two or three games ahead, it was like, Sharif would come out of nowhere. Yeah. Boom. And it's like, damn.
Because that's the thing. Paolini actually raced ahead in the first set. And I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be
comfortable. Exactly. Then, yeah.
Yeah, like, and this, more credit needs to be given to Sharif because she's a fighter.
She is,
and she really did. She's just stuck in there.
She is,
and I mean, Paolini, I think you make a good point about like the pressure and like the the kind of expectation now because she's a top 20 player.
Hey,
and she deserves to be there because she's there on merit. She's worked her way up.
She's worked
up to that
her
level.
Way up. Yeah.
But yeah, things are different when you're kind of like at this level now. So there are 100%. More eyes and like more players out to like beat her because she's a scalp, like literally being a top 20 player. So yeah, shouts out to Sharif, but I'm not mad at Paolini's like week in Rome because she ended up being a champion.
Exactly.
Like,
so the way I see it, at the end of the day, she already secured a title, a master title this year.
Exactly.
So
it's a 1,000, yeah. So now she's also a singles 1,000 champion and a doubles 1,000 champion.
You can't do that.
So shouts out to her and Sara Arni.
Shout out to them.
And that final was played against Coco Gauff.
Coco Gauff, yeah.
Oh, I forgot her first name. That's so bad.
Did I not narrow it down? Or no? No, I don't think I did. No, I didn't actually.
That's bad on my part. Because Erin Ratliff from Australia or New Zealand? God, Eugene. New Zealand.
Is it New Zealand?
I think it's New Zealand.
I thought it was Australian.
I want to say it's New Zealand.
I have a hard time when I see the, New Zealand. The flags smaller. Are very similar. Yeah, because yeah. so if it's bigger, then I can tell the difference. But when it's like tiny like that, I can't really see it. But but shout out to them, man. Yeah. That was great. And it was really dope seeing Coco and although they were like
New Zealand.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Although they're like an opposite, you know, they were not playing. It's not like they were playing together. It was still nice seeing them there. And it was nice seeing like Coco was, she said like on her post anyway, like, she was proud of us. Like,
it's a great week.
And semi-finalists. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like you guys can keep talking, but the numbers don't lie. The players still did not beat Coco. That's my thing. They still did not beat Coco. I don't give a damn if she lost ugly or she won ugly or if she did her serves like this, her serves like that. The girl who was literally against her still did not beat her.
She winning.
So if you can't beat me when I'm not even playing my best tennis, don't come and chat to me. That's what Coco should be telling you guys. She's not telling you because she's very nice and kind, but I am telling you. It needs to stop. Like, it actually needs to stop. Like, I think it would be fair if the two players that I feel like I see that get, quote unquote, I'm going to use the word bullied the most, is her and Sabalenka.
Interesting. 2 and 3.
Her and Sabalenka are the ones where when I'm watching a tennis match and I'm literally scrolling down, I'm like, raw, this is, like, don't get me wrong, everyone's get cooked. They all get cooked. But for whatever reason, when it comes to Coco and Sabalenka,
it's
different level. But it has to stop because both of them are still doing... One has a grand... She won a grand slam this year. The other one, no one is still beating her. She still won her title. She's still semi-finals. She's still in the finals. Like, stop it.
Well said, Lucy.
Anyways, now another... I feel like I really wanted to talk about Felix at Rome because I've been keeping
it. We should shout out Keys as well, quarterfinalist.
That's true.
We always, like, why do we always overlook Keys? Like,
she, you know what it is? When I work on a rundown, I'm thinking too much of time.
Of course.
So that's why we're not talking about all the players Rome. We're literally talking about like the key, like the highlights.
Yeah.
But
Keys makes it to the quarterfinals. She lost to Swan Świątek again.
Yeah, she did.
Iga.
Yeah.
And she also lost to Iga in Madrid. Like, so she just can't get away from Iga.
Tennis gods. Free us from Iga.
Which is quite irritating.
Oh, gosh. No, Madison Keys is honestly, like, she's literally, she even going to be in the semi-finals tomorrow as we even speak.
In Strasbourg.
Like, she's just like a different thing. She even, yeah.
Listen, that's a sneaky pick, you know, for the French. Yeah. We'll talk about predictions later on.
Yeah. She's been doing well. Like, literally, I'm looking at, and she had like really tough opponents. So
in Rome,
Rome. So in Rome, the first round she had, and I remember saying in the last pod, Soria Serrano, and I was right because that match was three sets. Although she did bagel her the first set, second round she had Haddad Maia, Brazilian.
Big win again because Haddad Maia is a good player.
Yeah, exactly. Third round, she had Serrano. And then she lost in the quarterfinals to Iga.
I think that's a psychological thing as well with Iga. Like, I feel like she...
A bit like Serena, like back in the days.
I think maybe Keys kind of gets in her own head before even getting out onto the court when she plays Iga because the head-to-head is so one-sided.
Iga has a lot of head-to-head that's one-sided.
This is the thing. But like,
so I don't know if it's really just that. I don't think, I agree with you, but I don't think it's just a Keys thing. I think it's just literally
a general thing.
Look at her head-to-head with Sabalenka. How many times Sabalenka, again, she had to go watch her win that title again. Yeah, literally the tournament right before that.
Madrid, she was close in Madrid.
She was close in Madrid, but she still didn't beat homegirl.
It was Rome straight sets, yeah.
This is what I'm, do you get what I mean? Yeah, I agree with you, but I don't think just a Keys thing. Especially with the way Keys is mentally and this year, the way she's going, it's crazy. Like she's playing, like this clay season, she's doing really well.
No, she is.
Like when she was playing in the beginning of like Rome, I think I even made a tweet like, so what if Keys actually won the title? And then someone was like, boy, Iga's right there. I was like, damn. but you're right. Shout out to Keys. And I hope that she, you know, wins her semi-final match tomorrow to then get the title. That'll be a great way to start the French Open. But yeah, so aside from that, oh yeah, Felix. Yeah, I've been keeping a big good eye like on Felix. And the reason why I wanted to talk about him is because that match against Alex de Minaur was really entertaining. Like, it was really, really good. It was three sets. It was really, really, really tight. Although that was the only match that he kind of like played, it was really entertaining. Like Alex, the thing is with Felix, the only reason why, again, it goes back to what I was saying the last pod. Honestly speaking, bro, the second he fixes them double faults, we're clear. And that match honestly proved it. Because even during that match, to be fair, he had way more winners.
Mm.
Literally, he had way more winners. Like, it was 29-14.
Wow.
Felix, it was literally 29-14, but the unfortunate errors was way more.
That was a third round loss, because he won his second round.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. So he won, yeah, he won
Botic, his... Botic van der Sandschulp.
Let me double check who he played against.
The Dutchman, yeah, Botic. Botic van der Sandschulp, that's who he played.
So he, yeah, he did. Yeah. And that was really, yeah. So that was really good. Mm. So that matches as well. He played pretty well. I remember watching it when I was working. But I knew Alex de Minaur would be a little bit tough. I actually thought maybe he would win that match.
Felix.
Yeah. Especially with the way that he played in his first round as well.
Getting the confidence exactly. coming from Madrid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this match might be tough, but I think he's going to win it. But again, it was generally just a double fault.
That was
the only thing. Like, I'm not saying, like, Alex was playing okay. I feel like he's played better than that earlier this year.
I feel like Alex, though, he's on a run.
No, he's on a run. It's just that, unfortunately, he's not that great on clay. His result on clay are not that great. The only reason why this clay season he's playing, like, a little bit better than usual is because before clay, he was already on form.
Yeah, so that's kind of helping him. Yeah.
But normally on clay, he's not a clay guy.
Interesting.
He's actually not a clay guy. But because his form has been great, I was like, ooh, this might be a little bit tough. So,
I was expecting Felix to win that.
Yeah, I expected it. But as I was watching the match and I was looking at the numbers, like literally, he had way more winners. And the double faults, it was like, it was bad. The double faults numbers, it was at 38 against like 21 or something like that. That unforced errors and stuff. Like, it was, so that was the only reason why Felix kind of like lost that match. So, good luck to Felix. I hope once he gets to Roland Garros, you know, he's made it very far in that tournament before, he can do it again. I think the start of the clay season, it was a little bit tough for him, but literally as it was going, he was just building up and building up.
Madrid was like, cool. We spoke about all that as well.
Exactly,
he played good tennis in Madrid.
Yeah, he played good tennis. Rome, he played good tennis. I'm just hoping that Roland Garros, he's locked down and just, you know, just doing his thing.
Definitely.
But yeah, these were mainly the highlights for our players, you know, from Rome. We
should mention the doubles too. So Shelton.
Yes, so he was playing, yes.
So yeah, Felix was playing with Big Foe.
A Big Foe.
And they played Shelton and Bublik in the first round.
Which was so surprising. But it was so funny. I actually, the last time Bublik and Shelton played against each other, I remember tweeting at the end of their match. I was like, oh, it seems like Bublik really likes Shelton, because at the net, he was like...
The buddy-buddy.
And you can even tell Shelton was looking like, oh, raw, oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, well, boys, like, yeah. Bublik's mindset has kind of changed a lot the last 7-8 months recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, they played, and they made it, and Bublik and Shelton made it all the way to...
The semis.
Yeah. And then they literally lost to, like, the first seeded... players. I think I even had them. They ended up winning anyway. So yeah, and they even, so they made it all the way to the semis. They lost to the doubles champs, Marcel Granollers, who's Spanish, Horacio Zabelos, sorry if I'm not pronouncing it well.
Lucy, with the doubles knowledge. These are established doubles specialists.
Established.
So like, no surprise.
And literally, the one's from Spain, the other's from Argentina.
Oh, that's clay is their bag.
Come on.
Indeed.
Come on, vamos a mis amores.
But just on Shelton though, like, yeah, so he in singles anyway, he did win his second round match against Pavel Kotov. And that was also, there was some controversy in that.
Oh my gosh, how can I forget? Because I didn't watch the first half of the match.
Yeah, I was watching that. I was watching it at home.
Because I when you tweeted the update, when you tweeted the update of the match, I then quote to you the tweet asking to us like,
"What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?" Yeah. Because it was the handshake was weird and he was moving weird and stuff.
I don't know. Like, so basically, from what I saw, Kotov was being very like dramatic between points, and like his celebrations were just like you can tell there was like I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a bit extra. Cheeky. It was a bit extra.
Yeah.
But also with Shelton too, and again, we've said this many times on the podcast. He gets the fans like involved as in the crowd. So they were really vibing with Shelton.
Yeah, they were. And in Italy,
when they're with you, they are
with
you.
That's it, yeah.
So the crowd were hyped
for
Shelton. So yeah, when he won the match, I think it was on, obviously it was on Match Point. Kotov, like his setup, he did like a really elaborate like celebration when he won a point. I think it was when Shelton was serving for the match.
Yeah.
And then Shelton literally on Match Point when he won the match, he copied the celebration, which I thought was brilliant.
Love it.
And then people were saying, oh yeah, like the handshake was like salty. I didn't really.
No. But that's what I asked.
I don't know.
I was like, what the hell? What's this guy's problem? That's what I asked. Maybe this year, but I saw it and I was just like, wait, his vibe was already off before that. But when I saw that handshake, I was like, what's his problem? I could see that he was frustrated. Because remember, I missed the first half and I could see that he was frustrated from like the crowd rooting for Shelton and stuff. But I was like, surely he can't be upset with the crowd doing that. I mean, put that anger on them. Don't put it on Shelton. But now they explain all of that, they were basically not even feeling each other like that. But it is what it is.
But yeah, Shelton then lost in the third round to China's Zhi Jizheng. And that was, straight sets. I think he wasn't really on it, Shelton, like from what I saw in that.
I missed quite a few of his matches. His matches was always during the time where I had like meetings and stuff. So I kind of missed some of his, or I'll watch the other halves. I didn't really see his stuff.
I'm not reading too much into it, but yeah, he just wasn't really on it. And Zheng didn't really have to do much in terms of like playing at a ridiculous level. He just literally did what he needed to do to win the match.
Right.
But it wasn't anything special. Mm. But again, I'm not like looking too deeply into that as a result. Mm-hmm. I think Shelton's in a good place. And like, yeah, the run in the doubles semi-final, like the run to the semis in doubles, like that's nice. Like that's more match play as well, like on clay.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you can take that into the French.
Definitely, yeah.
But yeah, shouts out to Shelton, man. Like, he's always an entertaining watch.
For sure. Other from Rome, we did secure some wins. Another title in a bag.
Oh, outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Arthur
Fils.
Second Challenger Tour title.
Yes, in Bordeaux.
Good, some good players in that draw, as well, that you beat. Like, because that's the thing with these two-week Masters events. The second week, there's always a challenger or like a 1-2-5 for the WTA. And you get like a lot of good players playing in these events because obviously they've been knocked out of the Masters events.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, yeah. Who did he play in Bordeaux? Fiche.
He didn't drop... I think he said
he dropped a set in the first round against Botic van der Stanschli.
Yeah, that was the only one.
And he was a top seed too, Fils. So he beat Kokkinakis in the quarterfinals, and then Grégoire Barrère in the semis, fellow Frenchman. And then in the final, he beat Pedro Martinez, a second seed in straight sets. So
these are actually like popular,
established
players.
ATP top 100
like
players.
Small
exactly.
players. Interesting.
Exactly. So, yeah, and that was. Again, the week before Lyon, and obviously Lyon was his first title that he won last year.
Yeah,
so he was due to play Lyon, but after winning in Bordeaux, he pulled out, which is fair enough.
Yeah,
like
he's
played enough tennis, so he's going to be a name to look out for at the
French.
And it's always nice as well when players like drop down a level. Like I do respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also shout out Elias Immer, who made it to the final. In Oreos, Portugal. I hope I'm saying that right.
I think it's Oreos. I don't know how to pronounce it.
A challenger in Portugal.
I know the city, but I never knew how to pronounce it.
A challenger in Portugal. Sorry to our Portuguese listeners for butchering that name.
Portuguese.
I like that. But yeah, Imo, who unfortunately lost in the first round of qualies at the French.
Oh.
So he's not going to be in the main draw, unfortunately. Mm. But yeah, again, playing some good tennis, clearly. Mm. And yeah, that's all I've got in terms of challenger tennis. News.
We had one big news. One big recent news.
Team or the grass? Have I ruined it?
Let's.
You're ruining it.
Read my lips, you're ruining it. Let's go on team then, the other one. So yeah, team is retiring.
Sad, man.
Really, really sad. It's like, I remember watching this guy like 2-3 years, like years ago. Like,
for me, it was the 2020 US Open final.
I was a fan of his even before that. Because him doing clay season, I was watch team. Mm. Like, he was giving me these good matches. Like, he was, I just really, although there was that little drama with like...
Serena.
Yeah, Serena.
She called her drama queen.
But she called, yeah. I didn't like that, but... After they posted the pictures together, so I was like, oh, okay, I guess they're cool. If they're cool, we're cool, whatever. But yeah, it's just really unfortunate because he was one of the players where we were like, yeah, he's going to be like one of the top, like the next one. And it's like...
Injuries, man.
That's it. But yeah, he played his last Roland Garros where there was another controversial, like a lot of people were wondering how the hell he didn't get a wild card.
It's a joke. Two-time finalist.
I really don't understand. Every year, I keep thinking to myself, you know what? French Open cannot surprise me. There's no way they can top what they've done last year. and before even it bloody starts, you actually managed to surprise me. Because I don't understand. How can team not have a wild card? Like, that makes no sense.
Mm.
Makes no sense. But, and it, I think what's even more insulting, they then did like a whole celebration ceremony thing.
Because when he lost in qualifying. Yeah, I know.
If you're going to do...
Insane.
Come on. Like, insane. Come on. Anyway, shout out to team.
And he's a Chelsea fan, so we've got a lot of time for that.
Oh, is it?
We're not talking about Chelsea on this podcast. But shouts out to Dominic.
Are you sure? Because I even heard something.
We're not talking about Chelsea. This is a tennis podcast, Lucy. What are you talking about?
My bad, bro. My bad. Let's go back to the tennis. Shout out to team. I hope he just enjoys the rest of the season. It's unfortunate that he couldn't play again for like Roland Garros, but as a fan, I'll never forget that. Like, the memories, I remember, I was even in France when I watched one of his finals and Roland Garros. Like, it was nice, obviously, because I was in France as well. I wasn't in Paris, but it was another city, but it was really nice. Dubai, one of the moments I will not forget. He was a really, really, really great player. I personally always been a fan of his, and I was looking forward to him to like build that up, but it is what it is. At least he got that one thing that a lot of players don't have.
True story, yeah.
It's not like he's retiring as a loser. Like, you're retiring and you tried and you still secure your Grand Slam. You competed against the King of Clay. Mm-hmm. Like, he would have won a French Open either way, 100%.
Definitely.
Because the only reason why he didn't is because he was literally against the top players. And we're talking about bloody Rafael Nadal.
The greatest,
like, it is what it is.
On that surface, so
shout out to team. The big news, which I think you and I are going to debate about.
Here we go.
Because when I sent this news to you, you were like, oh, I love this. In my head, I was thinking, what? But, see, you're looking at me all confused.
Yeah.
I know, but I'll have my reasons. Don't worry. So, the LTA has announced a new calendar for 2025. Hooray. Right? And there's been some changes. So, the changes are, we are now going to have a Queen's for WTA. So that means it's going to be a WTA 500 in London, and it's going to be even before the men's. There is also Birmingham is now going to be a challenger. Eastbourne is going to go from a 500 to a 250. I have to thread lightly here because this is home. and me and LTA, we, you know, we cool, we buddies. You know, I don't want my accreditations to be going. You know what I mean? I don't want Blackstreet Glover to be blackballed. So I'm not gonna be as real, okay? But I'm gonna be real, but I'm gonna keep it very respectful, okay? I'm not a fan of it because there's the biggest thing that I was very disappointed about was Eastbourne.
Being downgraded.
Yeah. Eastbourne is probably the closest thing that you can have to Wimbledon. Going to Wimbledon is a hassle.
Yeah.
Is a bloody pain. There are people who are who've been tennis fans longer than me and have not been able to go.
As an access. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a way for people who are outside of London, people who never been able to go to Wimbledon, to go to Eastbourne and get that vibe for cheaper the price and seeing top players. You're downgrading it means budget's going to be cut, means fewer top players.
I hear you, Lucy. I do.
Or maybe not. Maybe you never know. Because, for example, as we're speaking right now, bloody Djokovic is in the 250.
Geneva, exactly.
Like, this guy is like, nah, I need to get some.
I need some matches.
Yo, these kids are whooping my ass. But I hear it, but still, it's not, I don't know.
I think you make great points. And I'm going to agree with you on the London thing. Because we're Londoners. So like, of course it's convenient for us and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
But we've got Wimbledon. We've got Queens already for the men.
For the men. So the women's one, the reason why it's also an issue is because of how close it is to French Open. Meaning, if you are a top player and you make it to the second week, you're most likely not going to be going there. So what's the point of moving it all the way to London?
Shout out to Emma Raducanu. But that's
I'm actually gonna back my girl. I'm not gonna lie, because you're not going too hard on Emma. But I'm gonna come back. But as I was saying,
at least we only got an hour.
As I was saying, no, really. As I was saying, it was just too. It's too tight.
No, I hear you.
But I feel like the biggest alarming thing for me, it was like, for them to make these changes, money after you make.
100%, man.
Money after you make. But when I was reading the comments, a lot of people were not happy. But mainly because everything has been moved to London. And they feel like they're going to be missing out a lot of the tennis.
I don't think it's going to be a thing of players choosing not to play Eastbourne because it's been downgraded now. I feel like you're still going to get the same kind of caliber of player playing Eastbourne.
That's true.
Like, I don't think it matters.
And the thing is, a lot of people were saying, yeah, maybe it's because of the money. I was also thinking, I think maybe the players have voiced out the convenience for it as well. Because if I have, like, let's just have all the tournament like in London. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Them going, traveling around, it wasn't as convenient and stuff.
Yeah, because I'm sure players kind of stay in the same, well, players that play Queens.
Because to be fair, Eastbourne in London is not that far though. And Birmingham was already a challenger.
It's a bit of a trek, Eastbourne. It's like South Coast. It's a bit of a trek, Lucy.
When you drove to Eastbourne, how long did it take you?
It's about an hour and a bit, 2 hours.
Okay, fair.
It's a bit of a trek.
Okay, fair. That's what I'm saying. So I personally think decision was made based on budget and maybe some players were like, hey, just why is there not? And maybe some people were probably asking, why is there not Queens like in London? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I'm happy for, like, there's Queens in London.
As in for the women?
For the women.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to say this bit, actually. Let me keep
talking. Oh, God, you can't say it.
I cannot say something. There's something that I want to say, but I cannot say. Shout out to the LTA. You know I love you guys, man. But anyways, but we're looking forward to everything. The LTA calendar is going to be updated 2025. So if you are in the UK, I highly recommend everyone to go to Eastbourne this year so you can enjoy the last 500. Personally, Eastbourne is my favorite grass tournament, aside from Wimbledon, of course. I love going to Eastbourne. Like, I just love the vibes. It's a little bit hoodish and ghetto right there. But I love the tennis. I love the vibe. I love the people. It's just perfect. But shout out to the LTA. Hopefully I'm looking forward to seeing how Queens is going to be at for the women's and stuff.
I hope as well.
Because you were excited about that bit.
No, definitely. And I just hope, we've said it before, the grass court season needs to be longer.
No,
but of course, tennis authorities need to figure out a way to make that happen mm-hmm. in the calendar, because mm-hmm. it's too tight, and you can't squeeze all these events in before Wimbledon. Like, Wimbledon's one of the biggest, if not the biggest event, yeah. like on the calendar, and yet there's only what, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the UK anyway. Obviously there are grass court events in Germany and Spain, but in the UK, we need a Masters event as well on the grass. Like,
if it was me, just me, I would scrap out Madrid as a Masters.
Really?
So then
just have Rome.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep it there, and then make space for a.
That's a good shout. It's a good shout.
You know, hire me, guys. Let's get my mind. Let's change the calendar.
I know what Feliciano Lopez would say, but. We'll cross that bridge when you get there. But yeah, let's talk about the French Open, Lucy, before we get kicked out. So yeah, the draw's been made. Mm-hmm. I'm excited, man.
I'm excited too. I'm very excited.
Shouts out to, let's start with some qualifiers.
Cool.
So we did Alicia Park. She reached the second round in qualies, lost mm-hmm. in the second round, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Noma Akugure, she also lost in the second round of qualies.
Oh, yes.
She actually won the first set as well against a really good player, Tamara Zidancic.
Okay.
Who I don't understand. Why is she playing qualifying? But yeah, Zidancic now plays Hayley Baptiste in the final round of qualifying.
Ooh, okay.
And that obviously that's going to happen after we finish recording this. Mm-hmm. So good luck to Hayley Baptiste in Paris. Mm-hmm. On the men's side, we already said Emma. He lost in the first round, but we did get Gabriel Diallo qualifying today. Shouts out to him.
Shout out to Giddy.
So pop. He'll be making his, I want to say this is going to be his French Open debut, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think they're all the Robin Montgomery. So she lost in the final round of qualifying to, is it Lyola Jean-Jean, mm-hmm. French girl. Oh, the crowd were crazy in that match as well. Obviously, being a French, a home player, but that was tough on Montgomery because she was actually a break up in that third set, but ended up losing unfortunately. But I said it to you before we started recording. Montgomery is not going to be playing qualifying for long. Like, she'll soon 100%. Be top 100, getting 100%. Into these. Like, just off the ranking.
Yeah,
so
she's been proving that the last couple of weeks.
I can see it happening. I want to say for the US Open, I think she's going to break into the top 100. Okay. Fingers crossed for mm-hmm. her. If not this year, definitely next year.
Yeah, no, 100%.
But yeah, let's talk about the main draw now. So should we start with seeds?
Start with the seeds.
Women.
Yes, sir.
So Coco, obviously, number 3 seed. Uh-huh. She starts against the qualifier. Obviously, qualifiers haven't been placed yet.
Okay.
Imagine if she gets Baptiste, providing Baptiste wins, obviously.
Please, I don't have time for this.
Right, I really, really hope that doesn't happen.
At the same time,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because what do I say? Draws are what?
Jasmine Paolini, the 12th seed. So she starts against Daria Saville of Australia. Mm-hmm. That's a good first round for Jasmine.
Yes.
Madison Keys, the 14th seed. So she starts against Renata Zarazal of Mexico. Noemi Osaka. She's got Lucia Bronzetti of Italy. I think that's going to be... I'm expecting Osaka to win, but Bronzetti is a good player. And obviously
and
Clay.
And guess who she has to
go round. I know. Potentially. Strange things can happen, you know.
God, may that strange thing happen. Make it happen, please.
Strange things could happen, but yeah. Providing everybody wins, it will be Iga Świątek in the second round for Osaka. Sloane Stephens. This is a headache. Yulia Putintseva.
Oh, piss off.
And I want to say they played recently.
I think so.
On clay. I think it was after, was it after Madrid? Or before Madrid? Or was it even in Madrid? They played recently. Lucy's just checking.
Playing. Yeah, I'm checking right now. But she's played it quite a few times, to be fair.
I'm saying this year, though.
I'm not seeing anything.
Oh, really?
Not from what? I'm not seeing anything here. No. Oh, no, she did. She did. Sorry. Rome. She lost. She lost her in Rome. Oh, gosh. But the good thing is, maybe Stevens and her team will know what to do.
But we always say it. Grand Slams.
And French. No. French Grand Open Slams. Specifically.
And yeah.
When it comes to French Open.
Former finalist.
That Sloane Stephens, she going to find a way there the second week. It don't matter if that match was straight set, three sets, tie breaks, you name it, she going
to
find a way there.
I love one of the comments as well, actually, going back to Coco quickly in Rome. Mm. Someone was like, oh, Coco said, I'm leaving it with something.
Yeah. And she did. And Stephens going to do that by going there the next second week. Believe me.
Indeed. Taylor Townsend, so she starts against Wang Zhizhu of China.
I thought she got injured when she was
forgot to mention that. Yeah, so she, I think, was in Strasbourg.
Yeah.
Two games in.
Apparently it was like a very bad fall.
I've not seen.
I didn't see it, but when I saw the reaction of people, like people makes it like it was really, really bad. So I didn't think she was even going to be playing.
Well, she's in the draw. Okay. So hopefully she's fit enough to play. But yeah, we should check in actually and make sure. Like, she's good.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we've got Sasha Vickery, who's a wild card.
Nice.
She starts against the eighth seed, Ons Jabeur.
Oh, well. Well.
Jabeur's not had a great season.
That's what I'm saying. So, I was going to be dramatic, and I was like,
So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, we just hope Baptiste will also find her way into that main draw. But yeah, like we said, she's got Zdancic in the final round of qualifying. With the men now, so Ben Shelton, the 15th seed, he starts against Hugo Gaston of France, currently playing our guy Mpeshi Pericard. I've not seen the score. I had it on before we started. Felix Auger-Aliassime, the 21st seed, he starts against Yoshihito. Breathe, Eugene. Yoshihito.
Listen.
Why can't I say his name?
Normally, you're one of us has to be good at the names here. I'm the one. I'm the one that's butchering the names.
Yoshihito Nishioka.
That's it.
Apologies, pow. Nishioka.
We did it.
Who he actually beat in Madrid.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah.
So maybe this is a sign. So Madrid, obviously Felix got to the finals. Are we saying that Madrid in Paris?
It.
Are we saying he's also going to get to the finals in Paris?
We are claiming it. Francis
Tiafoe, the 25th seed, he starts against the qualifier. God, you know who that qualifier is going to be, don't you?
Yep.
Please, let's make sure it's not Diallo. Arthur Thies, 29th seed. I had here the 30th seed, but he's actually going to be the 29th seed. He's the 29th seed, which is fantastic for Thies.
Yeah.
He starts against Matteo Arnaldi.
Okay, that's good.
So that's an interesting... Yeah. Arnaldi's a good player. Young boy, mm-hmm. Italian.
Mm-hmm.
That is an interesting draw for Thies. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he gets... Well, I'm expecting him to get through, but that's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Germán Thies, obviously the fan favourite. He starts against Thiago Szeboch-Wild of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher Eubanks. Oh, mate. I'm sorry, bro. Yannick Sinner. Although, Yannick Sinner hasn't played tennis in what? 3 or 4 weeks? Number 2 seed.
You know, when I saw that, I just put my phone down. I'm continuing my day because I hate what you're saying, but this is a Grand Slam. This is Yannick Sinner. He knows the pressure's on him because he's not been playing.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Eubanks has been a little bit difficult for him this clay season. But you never know. I'm hoping there's a thing where he's saying, you know, it's a Grand Slam. Let me take advantage of Sinner not being his best form. If he beats Sinner, man. Drinks on me, man. I'm celebrating. That's going to be a big win.
All I'm going to say is, yeah, I mean...
I think it's possible.
There probably isn't a better time to play him. Let's say that.
True.
So...
We'll take it.
Do you understand?
That's true. That's a good point.
No expectation there on Eubanks. So good luck to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we've got Giovanni Mpeshi Pericard. Wild card, rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
He's been balling out this year as well, winning on the Challenger Tour. Like it's nothing. Also in Strasbourg. He's got David Goffin in the first round.
Ooh.
So Interesting. I think he's gonna win. I think he'll beat Goffin.
Yeah.
I think Goffin is.
It'll be a good match either way.
Goffin is kind of coming to the end of his career.
100%.
And yeah, Pesci Perricard, he's very exciting, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing him, a lot more of him on the ATP tour.
For sure.
I do quickly want to mention, so Pesci Perricard's sister, let me just get her first name.
Oh, is it?
Pay her some dues.
Is it her that sent the message?
So she lost in the first round of qualies at the French Open. And someone in France was basically having a go. I say having a go. So Daphne Mpepeshi Perricard, I think she's 15.
Mm-hmm.
So just starting like her career. She's a junior, clearly. But yeah, she got a wild card into qualifying for the French Open. But yeah, she lost, I think, 11-1.
Okay.
And someone in France was saying, oh, like, what a waste of a wild card, basically.
Mm.
That she's essentially taking...
someone, sorry.
Babe,
it was like a fan or what?
I want to say it's a fan.
Okay.
Like, it's not a journalist.
Was it a tweet?
It was a post on X or Twitter. Okay. But yeah, Giovanni saw it and was going back and forth, which I really respected. Because he was backing it for his sister.
Of course.
I did send it to you to read. Because it was all in French.
Where did you send it to me? You didn't send it.
I sent it.
It's my bad, bro.
Because I was translating it. It wasn't like...
Eugene, there's nothing on my iMessage.
Lucy, look.
I thought it was just the scores that you were sending me.
No, it's a tweet, bro.
But
it's all in French. But
do you know what? Because on here,
it does look like it's a picture.
Yes, I thought it was just a picture. Oh, if I saw that earlier, I would have definitely cast him out in French.
But we liked obviously Mpepeshi's comments.
Yeah.
I don't know French. I had to translate. But essentially, what Giovanni was saying was just like, rather than like get at players, especially young players starting at the beginning of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, show encouragement.
Yeah, facts.
Like,
facts.
And again, it's something we've said a lot as well. Like, mm-hmm. we just don't understand this. Some people are just out there to kind of, I don't know. They're just weirdos, like, unfortunately, man. But
shout out to him for standing up.
No, big time, big time. Sister. And shout out to Daphne as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's obviously going to be a name. I mean, her brother's doing his thing. So, brother and sister on respective tours. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much it, Lucy, man.
Predictions.
Oh, God.
What are your predictions?
Ladies first.
Ladies first?
Yeah.
As in, I should go first?
Yeah, you should go first.
I have absolutely no one for men.
It's wide open. It's wide open. I think that's very exciting.
I don't even have Djokovic.
Mm.
Look how the ATP side was looking for Rome.
It was a mess.
It was a mess.
Absolute mess.
So I'm sorry, I can't say. Women.
You have to come back though. But yeah, go on for the women.
Either Iga.
Three-peat. Is it three-peat? I don't know.
Three-peat? That'd be sick.
I can't remember. Is it?
Tennis-wise, it'll be sick. But I'll be sick because I'll be up. Women, I have either Iga or... Do you know why I don't like doing predictions?
Go on.
Because we're BSG, I'm just like...
Go on.
Okay. Can I give another... Okay, let me give another prediction. Okay, let me...
Lucy, wait, this is a very long...
It's a long... But just... Because guess what? I hate predictions because I never know what to do.
Wow. The silence.
Because I honestly do not know. Because I can't pick. One thing I know for sure is Keys is going to make it very far.
Second week standard.
Semi-final, final. I'm calling that for Keys.
For Keys. Okay, yeah. I like that a lot.
I'm calling
I really like that.
Ego, I have her as the winner. I don't have an alternative for the winner. Only because it's just been insane, this clay. Mm-hmm. If she was lacking a little bit, then cool. The only thing I think I can really stop her is her nerves and her overthinking it and that too much pressure.
Because I think that's going to come in a little bit. Because she's almost, so. She's playing so well. It's like she's expected.
She is.
Do you get me? Especially how the men is like completely like all over the place. Yeah. I think there's going to be even more expectation on her. And I feel like that could potentially trip her up.
That's true. But because of her form and the way she's been at and the way literally has been, even the top players, that she's been literally all the top players, the top 5, 6, 8, 10 players cannot be her. That's why I'm unfortunately I have to put her there. But I have Keys going very far, like as in semi-final or final.
I like that.
I'm claiming it.
For the men, I'm going to go, because yeah, Alcaraz, he hasn't been playing. He's injured, although he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
As is Sinner.
The men's wide open, man.
I don't think Novak's. Yeah, I don't think Novak's on it.
He's still recovering from the bottle.
Oh, man, I'm gonna go Tsitsipas. You know, I feel like Tsitsipas, he's due, and I want to say
Tsitsipas normally has very tough draws for French Open, but this was probably not the toughest one.
I've not seen the draw. I've not looked at his draw.
But it's a good shout.
I'm just going by like what he's already done.
Yeah, he's been a finalist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
finalist, semi-finalist. Yeah. He's won a Masters this year, season. Like he started off, so I'm not mad at that. That's actually.
I wish I can say like obviously Felix, because Felix has done well in Paris in the past. Obviously TFO as well, but. Mm-hmm. Just going by form, like they're not there.
That's a good point.
So for me, Tsitsipas is the guy. Rude, he's always going to be there, but I just feel like Tsitsipas, I feel like this is his time, man.
Okay, that's a good point.
And I'm not a betting man.
Okay.
Women, you know who I'm going for.
Who are you going for?
But you know.
I know who you're going for. Let the people see.
We have to re-up the go. Our girl Coco, you know, we have to do that. But yeah, no, I really feel like it's going to be, not that she's been kind of under the radar, but like she's been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Semis, quarterfinals, Rome and Madrid, respectively. And then, yeah, the French is also somewhere, it's a special place for her. She's reached the final before.
Yep.
Like you said, all eyes are on Iga, like to win.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Sabalenka's there too, already winning the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
Rabakina's been injured, so she's coming in. We don't know how she's going to be playing.
Yeah, no, I don't see her doing.
I really like Keys. Like, and again, I kind of feel like she's similar to Tsitsipas, and not that she's. I mean, she might win Strasbourg.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, Keys should be a Grand Slam winner. 100%. In terms of her career 100%. And like,
I mean, she's been in the fight. Yeah.
Exactly. So like she deserves a Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can say any player deserves a Grand Slam, but Keys actually deserves a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
And I would love that for her.
Yeah.
But I just feel like Coco, with all the talk and noise around her, like number three and like, yeah, she's got all these faults in her game. Like, bro. let's just go and collect that second
like
Grand Slam.
Like I said, at the end of the day, these girls didn't beat her. She's done this, she's done that.
Let's just go and collect that second Grand Slam. And on that note,
we shall see y'all.
But yeah.
On the TL.
Appreciate it, guys.
During the French Open, we're definitely going to be tweeting live. Come with us, engage with us. And I know you guys are looking at Eugene thinking, when is that merch dropping? Don't worry, guys. It's actually dropping
way sooner than you think. Soon.
Thank you all for the support you guys have been asking. And of course, yes, again, the US people. You guys are our number one priority. Come on, man. You guys are number one priority. You guys will have access to these merch. They're dropping real soon. So yeah, make sure to follow us and everything. We'll be updating you guys about Rome, and we'll be back straight up updating you guys about French Open, and we'll be back as soon as the tournament
finishes over. Yeah. Thank you guys, take care, man, all the best.